Father, as we look at your word now, as we talk about this oh so important yet difficult topic of forgiveness, forgiving others as we have been forgiven in Christ, Father, would you do a work in our hearts this morning that only you can do? Father, I pray that we would see your grace. Pray that we wouldn't rely on ourselves, but Father, ultimately that we would look to you this morning. So Jesus, I pray that every word that proceeds from my mouth would bring honor and glory to your name. Holy Spirit, come, be in this place. I pray this in your name. Amen. So most of you know that I grew up overseas where my parents were missionaries, and I got to spend the first 18 years of my life growing up in the country of Ecuador. And so I came back here to the States when I was 18 years old. I came back for college. I went to Crown College, just west here of the cities. And needless to say, it was a bit of an adjustment for me. My parents were still overseas those first couple of years, so I was a long ways from home. And in adjusting back to life in the U.S., yeah, it was a little bit difficult. And so I was a little lonely, kind of a little insecure, all of that. And my first week or second week of class, I had a professor my freshman year, and he had been a missionary overseas, and he really had a heart for missionary kids. And so he approached me after class one day, and he said, "Ben, I'm going to start a small group, a discipleship group. I'm wondering if you would want to be a part of it." And I said, "Yeah." And so we started meeting. There were six of us guys, a couple freshmen and some sophomore, and that group really became a lifeline for me that year. I experienced community. We would come together, and this professor would just pour into us. And not only, like, we wouldn't just study God's word, we'd, like, study to apply it and to live it. And God just did a great work in our hearts as brothers in Christ throughout that first year. And we really looked up to, we really admired this professor just for the ways he taught us, for the ways he poured into us, and just a lot of trust was developed. Well, it was the last time that we were meeting. It was May of that year, my freshman year. And we were meeting together before we went off our separate ways. And this professor, he pulled me aside and he said some words. Now, he didn't mean them, but the way he said them, man, they just cut deep. I mean, there was a deep, deep wound. I was like, "What? Like, what do you mean?" And I just kind of didn't say anything. And then the enemy took what he said, and it's like this lie was lodged in my mind. And for 3 to 4 years after that, I just struggled with who I was in Christ and my identity and whom he called me to be because of these words that were spoken from someone I deeply trusted. And thankfully, by God's grace, I was able to find healing in this professor and I. We reconciled. He apologized. And I praise God for the work that he did there. But sometimes the deepest wounds, sometimes the deepest pain we experience is from people who are close to us. Maybe family members, a loved one, people whom we trust, people whom we look up to. And we're continuing our sermon series on biblical forgiveness. And we're looking at what Jesus calls us to as his followers, to forgive others, to extend to our enemies the mercy, the grace, the love we have received in Christ. Last week, Pastor Brian began talking about forgiveness within the family. And we looked at Colossians chapter 3. Which says to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgive as Christ has forgiven you. And I know that for many, this topic of forgiveness can be difficult. It can be extremely difficult for some, especially if you've experienced deep pains, deep wounds. And so what I did this week is, as I studied for today's message, I walked through scripture and I looked at when the word forgiven is used, so when Jesus says forgive others, what is meant by that? Because I think sometimes we throw around the word forgiveness, or I'm called to forgive, but we're like, "I don't know, have I forgiven? I think so." And so what does scripture mean when it calls us to forgive others? Here's some definitions I came across. You'll see them on the screens. Ceasing to feel resentment for wrongs and offenses. Pardon involving restoration of broken relationships. Another one is this: to release someone of a debt they owe you because of the pain they caused you. And we really see this taking place in Matthew 18, the parable of the unmerciful servant. On your sermon notes for today, I've listed a couple of the words that scripture uses when it calls us to forgive. We won't look at all the scripture references because of time, but the first word is aphiomi, and it means to pardon or let go of the offense, to remit. Another word is charizomai, and it means to bestow favor freely or unconditionally, to cancel a debt. Now, we must understand that God calls us to forgive. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you." Now, forgiveness, it can be a costly and difficult activity. And so as we talk about forgiveness this morning, we need to rely on the mercy, the grace, the strength of God at work in us as we seek to forgive those who've mistreated us. And we must remember the gospel. We must remember that all of us, we owe this huge debt. A debt we could never, ever begin to repay because of our sin. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We deserved God's wrath. God had compassion on us, sent Jesus to die in our place on the cross. He took all our sin, all our shame. He nailed it there. Colossians 2 talks about that. He rose again in victory. And all who trust and believe in Jesus can experience God's forgiveness, can experience life now, life everlasting. And for those of us who are in Christ, who have been forgiven much, we are also called to forgive others. I love how Pastor Brian has reminded us time and time again through this sermon series, the forgiven are called to forgive. The forgiven are called to forgive. Let's look at our text for this morning. You guys ready? Ooh, Romans 12. Now, I was going to read verses 14 through 21, but because of time, I'm just going to focus on verses 17 through 21. Mike did a great job at explaining those first few verses, especially verse 15. So, Mike, thank you for that. But beginning in verse 17, I'll read the first three verses. It says this: "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. For vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord." Now think about these verses for a minute. This is difficult, isn't it? These verses mirror what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, which we read earlier. Don't repay evil for evil. Bless those who curse, love your enemies, turn the other cheek. Now, nobody is going to tell you to embrace that kind of approach to offenses in your life. No one except for Jesus. And forgiveness, it cuts against the grain of today's payback culture that says, you get me, I get you, you say that, or you say this, I'll say that. And I believe, again, for many, forgiveness can be difficult to walk out. You might be in here this morning saying, "Pastor Ben, do you know the pain they've caused? I mean, you know what my parents did? Do you know what my siblings or maybe that cousin did to our family? Do you know the hell they've put us through? And now I just have to forgive. I have to overcome evil with good. I can't take revenge. I just got to put it in God's hands and just let it go." Really? So what I want to do is, as we look at this text a little more closely, is I want to talk about some aspects of forgiveness that I think we can easily gloss over, that we can easily miss. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about what forgiveness is not. We're going to start there, and then we're going to talk about what forgiveness is. I think both are highlighted here in this text. All right, so three aspects about what forgiveness is not. Here's the first one. Forgiveness is not minimizing or excusing the offense. Forgiveness is not waving the white flag of surrender and saying that the wrong that was done to you was okay. And I've counseled people over the years, and I think a struggle for some, they think, boy, if I forgive this person, what I'm doing is I'm saying what they did to me was okay. And that's not the case. Scripture never says that. Look at verse 17 again. Repay no one evil for evil. So this verse does not minimize or excuse the nature of the evil that was done. It calls it what it is, evil. And forgiveness is not saying to a person, what you did wasn't really wrong, or you couldn't help it. No, the very fact that forgiveness is needed and granted indicates that what someone did was wrong. There's a church out east, and several years ago, they were doing a message series on forgiveness, and I heard the pastor telling this story, and so he put out a question on social media. He wanted some input from his congregation, and here was the question that he asked. What's the hardest issue of forgiveness you've had to deal with? And immediately, he got a response from a young guy he knew, and here's what this young man wrote. He said, my adoptive dad, in drunken rages, would beat me and would scream that he wished he would have never adopted me. I was 15 when he died, and we never reconciled. And the pastor was like, wow. I mean, thanks for sharing. What do you say, right? And he's like, I'm praying for you. And then immediately this guy responds back, and he says this. But my heavenly Father says he has never regretted purchasing me with the priceless blood of his Son, and this love has freed me to forgive my dad. Powerful stuff. Now, in forgiving his dad, was this young man excusing or saying that what his dad did to him was okay? No, not at all. And you see, the true power of forgiveness is not dismissing a wrong or passing it off as insignificant. Rather, it's accepting the seriousness of the wrong that was committed against you and still be willing to forgive the person who committed the offense. I believe it's okay. Sometimes I think it's necessary to acknowledge that you've been hurt, that you've been wounded. Many times it's the first step we need to take before we can forgive the person who's hurt us, who's offended us. And we need to remember, we need to know that we have a Savior who understands, a Savior who can sympathize with us. Hebrews 4 talks about that. Jesus understands pain. He was wounded. He was falsely accused. He was mistreated. And he can give us the strength, the mercy we need to endure, and he can help us forgive as we have been forgiven, and he can also bring healing to those wounds, to those pains. The second thing that forgiveness is not, and this is a big one, and it's not quite grammatically correct, but I had to kind of phrase it like this. All right, forgiveness is not always immediate restoration or reconciliation. Now, God does desire that we be reconciled, but forgiving someone doesn't always guarantee it. If you look in Matthew 5, he desires for relationships to be restored. We see that clearly. However, this reconciliation, this restoration is not always immediate. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Look at verse 18 again. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, I think some misconceptions people have around forgiveness. They think, boy, if I forgive this person, then like all conflict's going to be resolved and everything's going to be made right and everything's going to go back to how it once was. Or another misconception might be, boy, if I forgive this person, does that mean like we have to be buddy-buddy? Like we got to be best friends, and so now you become my huggy buddy, and it's kind of awkward, and we hug until Jesus comes back, but I don't like huggy buddies, so I don't know if I want to forgive. No. We're not called to be huggy buddies with everyone. I don't think that's what forgiveness is all about. Now, we are called to forgive, regardless of the offense committed against us. However, for reconciliation to happen, and this is where it's difficult, both parties have to come to the table. And unfortunately, that doesn't always happen. And as followers of Christ, we must do what we can to be reconciled. However, we can't control other people. And if there's unrepentance on the part of a person who hurt you, or if they continue in these unhealthy patterns, there's an unwillingness to seek restoration, it's very difficult for reconciliation to happen. I love what one pastor writes. He says this, "We are called to do all we can to be reconciled to others, But we cannot force others to do what is right. Let me say that again. We are called to do all we can to be reconciled to others, but we cannot force others to do what is right. And please hear me. I know this is difficult, especially when it's someone close to you. And you can forgive that person. You are called to forgive that person, yet it may not be wise to be in close relationship with them, especially if they continue in these unhealthy patterns that can cause damage, that can cause harm. Now, the door to restoration and reconciliation, it must always be open as far as it depends on you, right? Yes, we are called to leave that door open. However, we also need to be wise. Came across a great quote. There's a guy named Ken Sandy, and he wrote this book called The Peacemaker. And if forgiveness is difficult for you, if you have some deep pain, some deep wound, I would highly recommend this book. What I love about it, it's a deep read, but it's just bathed in scripture. He's continually going back to scripture, and he writes this on reconciliation. You'll see the quote on the screens. Having a loving concern for others does not mean always giving in to their demands. Let that sink in for a moment. Having a loving concern for others does not mean always giving in to their demands. We do have a responsibility to look out for our own interests. Furthermore, Jesus calls us to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. A wise person does not give in to others unless there is a valid reason to do so. And there have been times in my life in which I've had to put up some boundaries between myself and others because these people walk in unrepentance. They walk in unhealthy patterns that can cause damage, that can cause harm. I've had to put up boundaries for my family. Now, does that mean we don't love those people? No. Does that mean we don't forgive them? No. Does that mean we don't seek reconciliation? No. But sometimes boundaries, sometimes some distance is needed. And should we forgive those whom have offended us? Yes, absolutely. Should we seek to be reconciled? Yes, as long as it depends on you. Do we need wisdom? Yes. Do we need to pray for those with whom God wants us to restore a relationship? Yes, 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 yes. We must be praying that God does a work in our hearts, that he does a work in the hearts of those with whom we're seeking restoration and reconciliation. All right, final thing of what forgiveness is not. It's this, and this one's tough as well. It's not seeking revenge. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves or seek revenge, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, I think we see this one especially played out in family relationships, right? A wife might say, boy, my husband's not giving me what I need. There ain't no way he's getting what he wants. Not tonight, not this week. Or a husband will say, boy, she just continually cuts me down. She never respects me. There's no way I'm going to love her. There's no way I'm going to cherish her as God calls me to. Or we see this with siblings, right? For those of you children and youth who have brothers and sisters. Now, this never happens with my kids, right? It does happen, right? So let's say you're hanging out with your brother or sister. Maybe you're wrestling, you're running around, and all of a sudden your brother or sister hits you a little too hard, maybe on purpose, maybe not. What do you want to do? You want to hit him back. Or your sibling says something mean to you. What's your like first reaction? You want to say something mean back. And it's human nature, an eye for an eye. But as followers of Jesus, we are called to a higher standard. Whenever harm has been done towards us, whether a family member, a friend, someone we don't know, we must, and I can't say this with enough emphasis, we must resist the temptation to take personal revenge on the person who has done wrong. And verse 19 reminds us that God is responsible for bringing about justice, not you and me. And God has many methods. He has many ways he can use to bring people to justice, especially those who are evil, especially those who are unrepentant. He's established civil authorities, there's the church, there's government. And we must remember, we are not called to seek revenge. We need to leave it up to God entrust the authorities, the systems he's put in place for justice to prevail. All right, so that's what forgiveness is not. Let's look now at what forgiveness is. Back to Romans 12, I want to read verses 20 and 21. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. We'll come back to that. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is overcoming evil with good. And I love how these verses call us to be active and not passive as we deal with difficult people. You see, we are not called to have a passive response towards those who mistreat us. Instead, this verse here says, verse 20, we need to go on the offensive, not to beat down, not to destroy our opponents, but to win them over, to help them see the truth, and to bring them into a right relationship with God. Let's look at verse 20 again. If your enemy is hungry, what? Feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And our ultimate weapon in dealing with our enemies, with those who mistreat us, is deliberate, focused love. Now, this burning coals reference, this heaping coals on someone's head, it's interesting. I was always kind of confused by that because I'm like, boy, if I want coals to burn on someone's head, that's kind of painful, right? I mean, that's like, it sounds like punishment, and we're called to love our enemies, so should we desire to see them punished? So what is meant by that? Well, most scholars believe, and many of you probably know this, that it's a reference to our enemies feeling ashamed and convicted for how they've treated us as we respond in love. I love what the Romans commentary says. This is from the Concordia commentary on Romans. What it says, here's the quote, "Acting kindly towards our enemies is a means of leading them to be ashamed of their conduct toward us and perhaps to repent and turn to the Lord whose love we embody." And remember, our ultimate weapon in dealing with those who've wronged us, with those who've mistreated us, is love. And it's amazing what God can do in a heart of a person who's wronged us as we begin to respond in love. I came across a story, it's a true story, of a couple named John and Karen, and they were at another church, and they were married for several years. They seemed to have a good marriage. They had several kids together. Well, one day Karen decides, I'm out. I want to get a divorce. And so she just leaves John and the kids, and she goes and moves in with her boyfriend from high school. And John naturally was devastated. He was especially hurt because the church they were at didn't come alongside them and really help them through the process. But what John began to do is he drew on God's grace. He resisted the temptation to fall into self-pity and bitterness. He refused to criticize Karen, especially in front of the kids. He bent over backwards to accommodate the visitation schedule. And John prayed, and he prayed that God would do a work in his heart, that God would do a work in Karen's heart, and that God would help him respond with love and gentleness. And after about a year, here's what happens. Here's what the pastor writes. A year later, Karen and her boyfriend were fighting continually as she compared her boyfriend's behavior to John's unfailing kindness in the face of her betrayal. She began to realize what a terrible mistake she had made. With great trepidation, she asked John if there was any chance they could get together again. To her amazement, he said yes, but suggested that they start counseling with the pastor at his new church. Many months later, their children had the joy of seeing their parents renewing their vows and reuniting their family. Church, God's ways are not our ways. And as we seek to overcome evil with good, it's amazing the healing, the forgiveness, the restoration, the reconciliation that can come about. And that leads us to our last point this morning, and we'll land the plane here. Forgiveness is this. It's the power of the gospel at work in and through our lives. By the power of the gospel, I mean God at work in and through us. All right, let's just be real for a moment. Anyone ever struggle with this? Yep. Overcoming evil with good. Not seeking revenge. Not taking matters into our own hands. Choosing to forgive, it can be difficult, especially if there's deep wounds. Especially if there's deep pain. In our sinful nature, it always bends towards seeking revenge. It always bends towards withholding forgiveness. And so if we're going to forgive as God calls us to, we need God through the power of the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts and our lives. And we must be dependent on God, not ourselves. To forgive as we have been forgiven means we desperately need God to come in and do a change in each one of our hearts. And so what I want to do this morning as we come to a close, I want to read a prayer. It's a prayer that it's in the book, The Peacemaker, and the author, Ken Sandy, he writes it. And he says, sometimes all I can do in difficult situations, all I can do is pray this prayer. You'll find it on your sermon notes this morning. It'll be up on the screens up ahead. But let me just read this. Again, he says this, there have been times when my honest prayer was, God, I cannot forgive the person who wronged me in my own strength. In fact, I do not want to forgive them, at least until they have suffered for what they did to me. I love the honesty. They do not deserve to get off easy. Everything in me wants to hold it against them and keep a high wall between us so they can never hurt me again. But your word warns me that unforgiveness will eat away at my soul and build a wall between you and me. More importantly, you have shown me that you made the supreme sacrifice, giving up your son in order to forgive me. Now here's the prayer I think many of us need to pray. Lord, please help me to want to forgive. Lord, please help me to want to forgive. Please change my heart and soften it so that I no longer want to hold this against them. Change me so that I can forgive and love others the way you have forgiven and loved me. You see, it's only as we rely on God's grace, his mercy, his work in us, that we can choose to forgive as we have been forgiven. And when we walk in God's grace, when we walk in his mercy, when we choose to forgive, it displays to the world in a beautiful way the power of the gospel. Amen. Let me pray this morning. Father, I know this is difficult for many in here. But Father, I thank you that you haven't left us alone in this life. So Lord, I pray for those this morning who may be struggling with forgiveness. Maybe bitterness has set in. Lord, I pray that their prayer would be, Lord, help me want to forgive. Father, do that heart change through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for marriages. Pray for families. I pray for where there's some deep pain. Lord, I know it's in here. Father, help us. Help us to choose to forgive. I pray that we can be honest with one another, honest with the pain and the wounds we've experienced. And as we do that, God, would you lead us to a place as we rely on your grace and your mercy, as we seek to be dependent on you, not us, would you lead us to a place where we can forgive? Thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice that he went to the cross for each and every one of us. Father, what an incredible gift we've been given. We praise you as our Lord and Savior. And Father, we look to you today. In your beautiful name, amen. Amen.